The American History Podcast, Episode 5.
Welcome to the American History Podcast, hosted by Sean Morswick.
So welcome to the American History Podcast. Like I said, episode 5, this is an overview of the British North American Empire. Just a few housekeeping things before we get started. If you'd like to contact me and tell me how great I am, or vice versa, how bad I am, actually, you can email me. My email address is sean@theamericanhistorypodcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Sean Worswick. I'll just tell you right now that when it comes to Twitter, I tweet about anything and everything, not just history. So be aware of that. And also, most of my tweets are humorous, so sometimes that doesn't come across on Twitter. Okay, so let's just a quick review. We've spoken a little bit about the drive for the colonies. Why were the Europeans trying to come to the Americas and set up these colonies? What was the impulse behind the European drive? There's really some political and economic conditions in Europe that are affecting this. First of all, you have the end of the Crusades. Now, the Crusades ended in Spain with the end of the Reconquista in 1492. And as far as Spain is concerned, you've got these conquistadors sitting around. Probably not a good idea if you're the Spanish monarch, right? I mean, think about it. You're the king or the queen, and you've got this militarized group just sitting there with nothing to do. Not the best situation in the world. Lucky enough for Isabella and the king there, Ferdinand, they send Columbus out in 1492, and he discovers, or supposedly discovers, the New World, depending on your point of view. You've also got the Protestant Reformation taking place, and we're not going to talk too much about that. That's more of a European thing, but it does affect the Americas. In England, you had a group called the Puritans, and their idea was that they wanted to purify their practices, and eventually they wanted to move away from the corrupt English practices of the Anglican Church, which they saw as really just Catholic light. Then you had the Renaissance. This is an intellectual drive, and it's leading to this curiosity and exploration amongst the Europeans. They want to discover the world. They want to go out there and learn as much as they can about their world. And this intellectual drive and curiosity is going to go all the way into the 19th century. Just think of the Lewis and Clark expedition. You've also got mercantilism. Now, this is an economic system that the major European powers were using at the time. And it espoused the idea that all wealth is produced for the mother country, or at least it should be produced for the mother country. There should be, in other words, a positive balance of trade. So just as an example, you don't want to trade for cloth from France. You would want to produce that cloth for yourself. And then you would want markets to sell it in, and thus the need for colonies. And then finally, there is this move to centralize power. And we've kind of spoken about that as well. And in these kingdoms, France, Spain, and England, you're going to get this push to centralize power in royal authority. Okay. Having said that, let's look at the British experience in Ireland and Scotland, because I think this provides an excellent blueprint for the subjugation of North America by the British. Now, in the 16th century, the English conquered Ireland, and they concluded that the Irish were no better than, quote, savages or unreasonable beasts. And so they're going to use this as justification for the way that they will treat their opponents, whether it's the Irish in this case or later on the Indians in North America. Now, before I go on, I just want to say I'm kind of painting with a broad brush, so be aware that once we get into the actual discussion of the different colonies, whether they're New England or in the South, you're going to find that the English weren't always treating the natives quite as bad as sometimes you think, okay? But still, they weren't exactly nice either. In other words, it's more complicated, and as I tell my students, it's always dependent on time and place. Having said that, this subjugation of Ireland is going to be, in due course, the blueprint for the English to follow when it comes to dealing with the Native Americans. Now, in the meantime, the English decided that a colony must be planted. And they come to this conclusion in Ireland. They figure that the colony must be planted under the direction of a central monopoly, that organization that was run along military lines. And so the British colonial plan contains two important characteristics. Number one, or firstly, they wanted a centralizing governmental aspect to it. And just as importantly, number two, there was a militarized nature to these colonies, at least in Ireland. Now, also important here is the denial of property rights to the Irish peasants, or the denial of the property rights of the Irish peasants. The English declared that the Irish had no rights in owning land. Instead, the land is going to be given over to the crown's favorite lackeys, courtesans, courtiers, and even some monopoly companies, all of whom will enjoy basically feudal powers over these new lands in Ireland. Furthermore, the Irish are purposely either going to be exterminated or driven off the land. And then the English are going to be like, hey, great, we've got these vacant lands here. And so they're going to plant their supposed surplus of poor peasants who are now themselves little better off than serfs. Remember, the English are using a feudal system here. And so what's important to remember is that this is not a situation in which the free market is at work. This is not English capitalism. This isn't embryonic capitalism. Okay? This is feudalism. You could say it's mercantilism, but it's not free market capitalism. And if it were, then what would have happened is that the English would not have claimed ownership over these unused lands, okay, whether it's in America or in Ireland. They would have granted ownership of the land to the actual settlers if they were truly open, or they would have recognized that there was a previous claim on the land, you know, in the case of the Irish or the Native Americans. And they certainly would not have handed control over to a monopolistic corporate entity like these companies that were formed. So this is not free market capitalism. I just wanted to make that clear. All right, now a couple of terms that you're going to want to understand. The first one is proprietary colony. Now, a proprietary colony is one in which all of the land belongs to a ruler, if you will, and it was his land to then divide up in any way that he saw fit. He could give it out to whomever he wanted. He could divide it however he wanted. And this is a type of colony that will be used in both the Caribbean and in North America. Now, if you know anything about feudalism, you can see this is very feudal. It's kind of like the lord owns the land and then he's going to give land parcels to his loyal followers, his knights or, you know, fellow lords or whatnot. So this is very feudal in nature. Now, the second colony is a royal colony. Now, in a royal colony, the governor was appointed by the king, and most of the colonies are going to be, especially later in the British Empire, are going to be royal colonies. But these are just the two terms that I thought you really needed to know. Now, the second thing, or the next thing I want to talk about is mercantilism as a force that was driving colonial expansion. As I said, mercantilism is the dominant political economy in Europe, or it dominated the political economy of Europe in the 16th through the 18th centuries. Again, we need to make clear this is not capitalism, not by any stretch of the imagination. It was a heavily regulated economy that called for a positive balance of trade for the mother country. Basically, it proposes protection of the economy through things like tariffs, subsidies, the promotion of industry by government, commerce and finance, and it believed in central banking. Again, none of this is free market capitalism, okay? This is a highly regulated economy. Kind of sounds familiar because in some of these things are things that we have today. Central banking, for example, the promotion or the protection of industry by government, things like that. Now, one of the things that you're going to get out of all this happens to be economic bubbles, okay? Bubbles that are created because of land speculation, but also one of the most famous ones is the tulip bubble in the Netherlands. I know it sounds weird, but there was a tulip craze in the Netherlands at this time, and the price of tulips just skyrockets to where one bulb could be worth like a home, believe it or not. Check it out if you're interested in that. But mercantilism also wanted colonies, or it called for colonies, which would then produce raw materials, whether those are precious metals like silver and gold or timber, cotton, etc., which would then be hoarded by the mother country, or they would be turned into finished goods and then sold to the colonies or to other markets. Now, all of this, or this above point, I should say, this point here, led to wars between these countries, okay? And then the last thing, just as a bit of overview of the British Empire and the North America, is the centralization of power. Now, as we've seen, Spain, you're going to get a centralizing of power under the monarchy of Isabella and Ferdinand, but also under the rule of King Charles V, who was also the Holy Roman Emperor, and Philip I. In France, you're going to get monarchs like Francis I, Henry II, and then especially Louis XIV, famously known as the Sun King. In England, Elizabeth I, and then the Stuart monarchs, James I, Charles I, Charles II, and James II. Now, monarchs are using colonies or are going to use colonies as a means to solidify their power, add to their personal prestige as well. There is a difference, though, between these three countries. In England, the political tradition meant that their experience with colonies, especially after with the American colonies, would be different, especially in the aftermath of the Glorious Revolution of 1688. Okay, well, thank you very much. This was a short podcast, just kind of an overview, again, of the British North American experience. Next time, we'll delve deeper into this. We'll look at the southern colonies. And again, if you enjoy this podcast, please share us on your social media with your friends and family. If you're doing any shopping, please enter Amazon through our ads on our website. That will kick us back a few pennies and help keep the lights on here at the American History Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Sean Warswick. Also, if you want to contact me and tell me how great I am or how bad I am, you can email me. The email is Sean@theamericanhistorypodcast.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.